Good morning. Not bad. Happy New Year. That's better. Okay. It's really good to be back up here. It's incredibly amazing how fast this last year has gone by already. For those of you that were here last year when I did the message, I talked about resolutions, and I talked about the 10 resolutions for a life. And it was actually for my life, which was relevant to speak about at the time. But I think I did okay. I have to say that I did pin them on my wall, so I did it in my office, so I do know what they were all about, and I could remember them. Some days I didn't look at them, some months I didn't look at them, but hopefully got most of them, maybe 8 out of the 10 or 7 out of the 10. Which I'll take, okay? But their resolutions, you know, as I did last year, for a life, so it continues through the whole life, not just for the one-year period. There was an 11th resolution that I did make last year, but before I just share that briefly, I need you all to do something for me very, very quickly. It won't be a big deal, but I'd like you to just hug yourself, please. I'm watching now, okay? Okay. Or if you don't want to hug yourself, pretend you're stepping out without a jacket in the weather that we're having, okay? Now, my 11th resolution last year was to hug 3 people a week, okay? I'm not a big hugger, as many of you know, so it was 3 a week. Now, between the first service and now, I'm covered for this coming year, okay? I don't have to do it anymore. Okay, no, I'll try to keep the resolution. But you really, really helped me in that regard. As Ryan said, we're kicking off a new series called Called. With the tagline with it was Living Sunday, our faith on Sunday through into Monday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, throughout the whole week. So we're talking about work, but it, you know, we think of the word work. And we think of a word that deals with, you know, our job, our occupation, our profession, but something we get paid for. We think of it in economic terms. But realistically, it's work we are paid for and even work we're not paid for. And it's not meaning that you give your work away for free. It's meaning other aspects of your life which work, which you may call work. You work around the yard. You work, you know, you're coaching a team. You're working that way. Moms are working, and dads are working, taking care of kids. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can call work, but do we carry our thought process? Do we carry our attitude toward God, our attitude toward life, our attitude toward other people from where we're sitting here today into tomorrow and then the days following? How do we really make that transition? Because sometimes that transition's tough. You leave here, you go home, you watch the Patriots, maybe. You're getting ready for a New Year's Eve, whatever you plan for New Year's Eve. Tomorrow, we don't have to worry about Monday because technically it's a day off for most people, although some may be working. But it's the whole concept of why. Why this Sunday? And then the thought process of having to really gear up our minds and our hearts to transition into what we call the work week. So, you know, we're going to do that by starting way, way, way back at the beginning in Scripture, actually in chapter 1 of Genesis, because God, in that chapter, sets the stage for this whole concept of working, the whole concept of working through our lives into what we think of as our jobs. Sometimes we think, you know, our professions, our occupations, or whatever. But it's something that is really put together for us way back in the first chapter. So some of you may have your Bibles. I'm working out of the ESV version today, so it may be best. The ones in front of you aren't ESV. It may be better to look at the scriptures as they come up on screen. I got my cheat sheet here so I can read them from here, because in case I can't quite see with the glasses from the back. But we're going back to chapter 1. God's in the creation mode, okay? Now, chances are, when we think of creation, we don't think of that being work. And yet, we'll see in a minute, that God did call it work. It was actual work that he was doing at that point in time. But it starts out by helping us understand how we're to relate to that work, as opposed to just thinking, well, that was what God did, now this is what I do over here. So in chapter 1 of Genesis, in verse 26, God says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Now, if you think about it, the last part of that verse is the world's first job description. And it was given eventually to Adam, who was created in another chapter, just following the first. And so if you think about it, God gave that job description and eventually gave it to Adam to work. Okay? But the key thing that we can't miss is the fact that God created us in his image. Now, that doesn't mean that we take on the facial features, okay? God is spirit. So we look at the image that we're supposed to be, and we're talking about the character of God. We're talking about what God has called us to as far as glory, as far as worship, as far as emulating how he thinks, emulating what we call his nature, and taking that in all aspects of our life because we're made in his image. So when he is describing in that verse how we're supposed to proceed in our lives, okay, in whatever we're called to do, whether it's watching creeping things or whether it's watching the animals or whether it's going to the office tomorrow or Tuesday or whenever, or doing whatever work, paid or unpaid, that you're called to do, what image do we have in mind? What image are we there to portray during that time that we're there working away from here? That whole concept of Sunday into Monday. And then he goes on in verse 27 and he says, "So God created in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created him." He's used image again several times. It's like, look, I want to make sure people get this. Okay, my image is really, really critical. And it's not my image for Sunday mornings. It's not my image just when I'm going to an event at church. It's my image as I step into the world and do the work that I'm called to do. Again, whether it's your job or whether it's something that you're working towards as a good parent, for example, whatever it may be, you are to do it with his image in mind. And God makes that very clear in these opening verses. And then, again, as if we're not going to get it the first time, he comes back in verse 28 and says, "And God blessed them." Okay, talked about male and female in the prior verse, but God blessed them. And then God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." So he's kind of adding a kicker to the job description. Okay, so you've got to be fruitful and multiply and create and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He took the creeping part out in that one, but it's our job to take in his image, and basically it's an amazing word, having dominion over, okay, having responsibility over, whether it's a small task, a large task, whatever it may be, okay, but having dominion over that, caring for it, dealing with it, okay, doing it to the best of your ability, but most importantly, doing it in his image, which means doing it with a heart of worship, with a heart of glory toward him, with a heart and an attitude toward honoring God with whatever we're tasked to do. So if you think about that in relationship to your own lives, okay, you think about what God called us to do. But then it's interesting because in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 2 of Genesis again, not far away, it says, "On the seventh day, God finished his work." Okay, he's calling it work. There's no questions here now. It's his work. "He finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day," excuse me, "from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So he uses the word work several times in this verse. Yes, he rests on the seventh day. Yeah, sometimes we don't have that. You know, we work, we think 5 days and a weekend, etc. God worked, you know, he might have said, not thank God it's Friday, but thank me it's Saturday because then I got a day of rest on Sunday. Not a problem. So, if you think about it for a second, though. Now, God called this work. Now, I wonder how many times during that period of time where he was creating everything, the universe, that he said, you know, I think I'll call in sick today. Or, you know, I really hate this job. I really got to find something else to do. You know, God didn't do that, okay? Now, not that we ever do that in our lives. We never call in sick when we really aren't sick or whatever. But God, in those 6 days, created something he called good. And then it was all said and done. In that sixth day, he said, this is very good. Man had been created. Women had been created. So it's so important to understand that the connection between God's image that he has instilled in us and taking that image and moving it in a way into our lives. So it's not just that Sunday we think about God, but it's every single day as we relate to God in whatever we're doing, whether we're paid for what we're doing or whether we're not even paid for what we're doing. You know, it becomes a personal thing. It becomes something in our lives that we have to look at and say, okay, am I doing that? Am I making the connection? Or am I leaving any relationship whatsoever that I have with God in where I'm sitting here on Sunday? That I'm not carrying it anywhere into the week. I'm not thinking about worshiping God. I'm not thinking about just how my image, as it's reflected in God, is being carried out in the environment or the situation that I'm in at that point in time. So, you know, if you think about the fact that Adam and Eve were called, okay, two individuals in the very beginning, called in his image to do all these things, including starting the population of the earth. But when they were told this, when they were given this, when they were put in the Garden of Eden, okay, no sin had entered the world. So what they were doing in his image, what they were doing at that point in time, whatever they were doing and having that, quote, dominion over everything, was doing it in God's image without sin. It was a pleasure. It was their form of worship. It was caring enough about what they were doing because they were honoring God. They were glorifying God with whatever they were doing. But then you get to chapter 3, and one of the creepy things enters the picture, and sin enters the world. So at that point, and from that point forward, God didn't say, oh, gee, you're done, you're dead, I'm not going to have your work anymore, you don't have dominion over anything. No, he didn't do that. He still had dominion, but work became work as we know it today, and as we think about it sometimes today. We don't think about it as that being in the image of God many times. We don't think about it in relationship to honoring God or being godly in what we try to do in our work. And I don't mean evangelizing to everybody when you're going to work or whatever, but just thinking through, what am I doing today that can truly bring God glory, or how am I honoring him in what I'm doing today? Now, we all have tough days. We all have some good days. And sometimes in the good days, we don't thank God that we have his image and thank him for having that good day. And many times when we're having bad days, we sometimes blame God. And you think about that for a second, you say, well, gee, you know, I'm blaming the God of the universe, the God who created the universe, the God who created all things, and I'm blaming him for my bad day. And it just doesn't make sense when it was man who sinned, who caused those bad days to happen and come along. So when we think about our job, our vocation, or whatever that we have to do, we think about, you know, what that actually means. If you looked up vocation in the dictionary, you're going to find a lot of words that relate to vocation. You're going to find job. You'll see work. You'll see profession. You'll see occupation. You'll see calling, the word calling. And which is an interesting word because, you know, if I were to ask you right now, how many of you have ever felt called to a job or to a certain type of work? Now, you may like to do it, you may want to do it, but have you ever felt called to do it? And Scripture does talk about that. It does relate to it, why we were called. We may be in jobs we can't stand, and the last thing we probably want to do is admit we're called to it. I have to say, you know, one of the reasons Matt had asked if I kind of kick off this series is the fact that this church life or church work has not been my career. I joined Centerpoint in the capacity of operations about 4 years ago, and yeah, I had been a Christian a long time and gone to church a long time, but had never worked in a church environment. I'd been 35 years or more in the business world. And I have to stand up here and admit that if you asked me about being called, I can truthfully say I don't think I've ever been called to one position in my life. I've never sat there and said, you know, I was called to this. You know, I worked in England for 3 years. I wasn't called to that. We moved several times around the country. I wasn't called to that, that I felt. I didn't feel I was called. I was thinking of my career. I wasn't connecting with God in any way. Although I believed in God, God was important to me. He was important in my life. But I didn't make any kind of connection with that. So it was interesting that when I was talked about doing this and putting this together and using the word called, I'm thinking that's a word that my guess is that not many people listening would think they were called to something. They might have changed jobs, they might have changed professions, they might have changed work, they might have changed occupations, but not really from the standpoint of a calling. And not only for a calling for work, but calling in your life. I can't go back and say, you know, I was called to have 4 sons. Or I was called to lose a wife to cancer. I was called to, 10 years later, marry another woman who's now my wife. You know, none of those were calling. But what's interesting is that when I came here to Centerpoint, the pastor who was here at the time, prior to Matt, Dave Butler, he came up to me one day in the process when he was talking to me about the position, and he said, Dave, you know, you've really honestly got to feel this is a calling. Oh, brother, it wasn't like I had been thinking about the word calling, it was just kind of like all new to me. And then someone pulled me aside shortly after that, so I thought about a calling, and I said, it sounds good. Then someone came up to me afterwards and said, you know, Dave, you know what calling really means? It means you're ready to accept less money. Which is true, by the way, in relationship to church world. But if I, you know, when I think about it, as I put notes together for being up here and talking, I've always had a situation where I've taught for a number of years in different situations that I always get more out of preparing and doing it than I feel like I ever give, because, you know, there's so much depth that you dig into, but the calling thing really has hit me. There is a calling that I really have to pay attention to in my life, and that calling is making sure, and I fall far short in many areas, making sure that I'm carrying that calling, the calling of being in God's image into the rest of my life in all aspects of it, but particularly in the work world. So, you know, I've got this vocation. Outside of Sunday, I'm looking at a situation of being called, not only here, but, like I said, outside of Sunday. But what am I called for? And it really boiled down to something pretty simple. I'm called to someone, not to something. And that someone is God. And as you know, huge as that may seem or sound, it's something that really hits home to me, because being called to someone is so different, because, you know, in the business world, you can use responsibility, accountability, and things like that, but I'm truly accountable to God, because he's given me his image. So that image translates into my accountability to be in his image in all that I do, every day, every minute. And do I fall short? Well, without a doubt, I do. But at the same time, I think that it's sometimes the attitude of trying. It's the attitude of being there. It's the attitude of working toward that as I said, whether you're doing it in a case where you're being paid for it or you're not being paid for it. And maybe work doesn't fit that definition across all those spectrums. But yet, at the same time, it's still, I'm out there being something, doing something. Call it work. Call it an occupation. Call it a calling. Call it whatever you want. But am I doing it at the end of the day when I look in the mirror? Am I doing it to God's glory? A while back, many, many, many years ago, in thinking about this whole thing, I was at a conference of men. It was a men's Christian men's breakfast, and somebody, one of the persons that was speaking, said something that it's one of those phrases that I just didn't forget, or one of those things I didn't forget over all these years later. And it was the concept of success. And the question that they asked was, how do you define success? Now, if I asked you that, and I asked for, okay, let's get some answers going. Now that we're in church, you might have different answers if we weren't in church. But you know, a lot of times it's economic. A lot of times it's, I hope to be happy. I hope to have a good marriage. I hope to, whatever the case may be. And he had people share what they thought their success was. And granted, there was a lot of businessmen. It was a lot of people that were working. So they geared it toward, many times it was geared toward the economic side of things, even though it was a Christian men's breakfast. But he said, you know, here's what I think success is. This is the person presenting. He said, success to me is if you can lay your head on the pillow at night and say that everything you did that day brought glory to God. I said, whoa, that's a tough one. Now, many of us get up and we jump into our day, even though we hear that, wow, isn't it great if you can come up and have prayer time in the morning and have all those disciplines or whatever? That's always a good thing. But sometimes it's just getting up and saying, Lord, just be with me today, please, Lord. I pray these things. And then at the end of the day, keeping that image of God in mind, in your heart, that we were made in his image, that at the end of that day, when you lay your head in the pillow, you can say, yeah, I did. I brought glory to God today. This today was a success. Many days I can do that, put my head on the pillow, and not say that. Because something came up that, whether it was a moment of anger, whether it was a moment, a thought that I had that shouldn't have been there on that Monday or that Tuesday or that Wednesday, and say to myself, you know, in that definition of success, didn't quite make it that day. So, but having that attitude and thinking about that makes all the difference in the world, okay? Whatever you do, I kiss my wife goodnight, I pat the three dogs that are in bed with us at night, talk to them, move them around so I can fit and get a little spot. But you know, I think about it, and we do those things automatically sometimes, but sometimes we need to do them in relationship to our image and who God is and who we are in his particular image. So, you know, it's just something that I think I try to keep in mind, and I think it's worth thinking about. Now, you're working, whether you're paid for it or not, you're doing something that can be looked upon as work. So a question I would have is around the whole thought process of motivation. What motivates you to work? Now, if I were to say, and this is something, again, in the business world I learned a long time ago, which was a little bit strange at the time to me, said that nobody can motivate anybody else. Nobody. I cannot do anything, okay, that's going to say I directly motivated you. What the theory said, which to me stuck with me many, many, many years, is that all motivation comes from the environment you're in. So I can create the environment for you to motivate yourself, but I can't motivate you. You still have a choice. You can be do something or not do something. You know, and from that standpoint, if you think about it, what's the environment that we're creating when we walk out of here and walk into Monday or Tuesday, into the work we're doing? What environment is created? But as important as that, is what do you value going into that? Do you value, hey, you know what? My job on Monday, I'm making a lot of money, and that's what I really value. Or, I just really like the social contact. Yeah, I wish I could be making more money, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing are my coworkers and the people I work with. Or it could be just that security. It could be the open environment. It could be the social aspect of work, whatever it may be. The people that generally are more comfortable or happy in their jobs are people that are in an environment that they value. And it just makes sense that that's where you're going to be motivated. But the environment you're put into sometimes is not the environment that you would necessarily choose, and it might not be the environment that you value the most. But the key is, are you in that environment, and are you working, and are you acting, and are you doing things for someone or for something? That someone being God. And if we're created, again, in his image, and that someone is God, then as we work into that environment that we're going to every day, whether it's here working where I work at Centerpoint, or the number of jobs I've had over the years, or the tasks that I've taken on over the years, okay, I wish, and I have to stand up here and honestly admit, I wish that I had learned a lot earlier what working for someone meant more than working for something. Because I think it would have made a lot of difference in the way I've handled things. I can't say that there's been disasters, but could it have been better? Could it have been different? Oh, yeah. But it's having that image in my mind of who God is and the fact that I'm made in his image. So subsequently, going down that path is going to take me to a point where I can say and put my head on the pillow at night and say, yeah, I've glorified God. I've honored God in all that I've done today. So I had as a transition of understanding worship in relationship, I want to worship God in what I do during the day. And it doesn't mean I'm on my knees praying somewhere during the day or whatever, but it's what I do. It's the ethics I take into a job. It's the feeling that I have toward other people. It's the way I try to treat people or the things to avoid. The language that I would use or something like that. It's so important to understand that going into that environment with that thought process of honoring God, of honoring someone, that makes it so, so critical in our worship of who he is. I have a brother-in-law in Michigan that started a church, I think it was 27 years ago. And at the time, I was living in New Jersey and going to a Reformed Baptist church. Now, without getting into a lot of detail, it was a stricter church, okay, than what he was trying to start up. And, I was kind of like, I have to say, I was thinking very narrowly at the time, but I thought it was right. This is the way you worship God. And his name's Dave. And Dave said to me one day, he said, I'm not going to say you're wrong, Dave, me, but I can worship God when I'm playing golf. I can worship God if I'm working at a totally different job and not starting a church. I can worship God playing basketball. He was a big athlete, and we were pretty competitive at the time. But he said, I can worship God in all those things. And it didn't make sense to me. No, you've got to be worshiping God like this. 27 years later, he's absolutely right. And I was totally wrong back then. The thought process was narrow in my mind. I hadn't thought about taking what I was gaining on a Sunday into my life during the week, all aspects of my life, but particularly my job. Now, pride is a whole other subject we could spend a lot of time on. I've never told Dave that he was right, okay? someday I will. Hopefully, if this is put on the website, that he doesn't watch it. It's something that was really, important to me to realize. And I will have to tell him. I should say to him, he's also been the chaplain for the Detroit Lions for 33 years, okay? And they stink. And so if they win the Super Bowl, I might tell him, okay? So, but not if they beat the Patriots. As I kind of like try to pull this together, there's a word in Scripture that is used back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, which is a great verse. It says, the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. Work is a word called adava that basically signifies work, it signifies worship, and it signifies service all throughout the Old Testament. It's used in those three ways all throughout the Old Testament. But it's a really good word to understand how those all fit together. Our work, it doesn't have to be a service job, but our work in being a servant, being like Christ, being like who Christ was, and how we are to follow him, how we are to the series we went through a short time ago before Christmas about Centerpoint for New England and following and caring and working. That's work. Now, we're doing it. We try our best, hopefully, to make disciples. And that's considered, is it considered work? Well, yeah, it could be. We're not getting paid for it. But we're doing and honoring God through that process. So we're worshiping him through the work and through the service of being a servant that, like Christ has called us to be as we try to follow him. So as you look at that and think about that and tying those together, it's really, really hard to do that. And I know I'm excited about the weeks ahead, because in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk about how to do that. Matt has put together a series that really is a great series to understand how that whole image that we are gets carried into our life of work, whether, like I said, whether we've paid for it or not. It's important to understand that it's all about worshiping God in whatever we do. And, you know, when you pull that together, when you look in the mirror and say, okay, it's for someone as opposed to something, I think about what in a book that I was reading called Work Matters, they brought up a concept which I thought was really, really good in as far as kind of pulling this all together. And he said, live your life for an audience of one. And you know, it said, okay, but the world's our stage, as sometimes we say. But that stage is nice, and we may be altering how we behave and what we say and what we do, especially when we walk out of here on a Sunday and do something or be different in our lives. But who are we doing that for? We're different because of the circumstance we're put in, or are we focused on doing it for an audience of one, which is God? We're made in his image. He's called us to basically take care of his creation. It wasn't just Adam's job description, it's our job description too, to take care of his creation, to honor him, to worship him in the process. And in the end, it doesn't mean you don't care about anybody else, but in the end, it all comes down to that audience of one. And that audience of one is as it says in the verses, some of the verses we read, it's what's meaningful to God when we lay our head on our pillow at night. And when we lay our head on our pillow at night and say, yeah, you know, God, our audience of one, is pleased because I honored him with whatever I did that day. So, you know, as we think about our priorities, as we think about how we are to walk out of here today, yeah, watch the Patriots. You want to watch them. Which I like to, so I'm not downing them. Definitely not the Lions. but when we walk out of here today and walk into our jobs, whether we're working tomorrow or whether it's Tuesday or whether it's doing something that's called, we call work, that we're not even being paid for, the bottom line is, are we doing it for God's glory? Are we worshiping him in what we do? And we're not talking about, you know, but bowing down and praying in your cubicle at work or wherever you may be. But you can do that in your heart and you can do that in your mind. But also you can just behave in a way that honors that audience of one. Because in the end, what's more important than that audience of one? Probably not very much. So let me close with a verse from Psalm, and actually a couple of verses from Psalm 90. Where it says, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You know, it's in there as a reminder that God, our audience of one, wants us to worship him and glorify him in what we do when we walk out of here. And it's totally up to you. So I'll pray that we all walk out of here with a thought process as we go forward that we're all about pleasing that audience of one and glorifying him. Lord, thank you for just the opportunity to open up your word. Yes, Lord, even from the Old Testament and Genesis and from the beginning, Lord, you've given us our marching orders, Lord. We are to be in your image. We are to be like you in all that we think and do and say. Lord, you've given us responsibility in this world over your creation. Whatever small task we're talking about, whatever large opportunity we may have, Lord, let us do it first and foremost for your glory as we worship you in all things. In Christ's name, amen.